Dear friends, what a pleasure to be together again today as we continue our study, which will be based on the structure of the book of the Revelations. We have seen three of these structures. The first one could be called the two convergent stories. The second one being a structure in chiasm, that is to say in symmetry relative to the center. And the third one, a structure similar to the Russian dolls or matryoshka, where each last sketch of each section is like a springboard to the following one, except for the central section, the woman and the dragon. This represents a second story. Having thus established these three structures, we can now try to have a chronological essay which we shall see together. We can see here on the first line a picture bearing the seven churches. The seven churches are seven messages describing the history of the church. These messages could be understood in various ways and at different levels. It is a fact that these messages were sent to the existing churches in Asia Minor during John's time. This is the first reading. We can also say that, seven being a universal number, these messages are addressed to us all and concern Christians of all times, eras, and nations. Thus, for the second reading. In chapter 1, verse 19, there is a third reading suggested to attention. It reads as follows. Write the things which you see and send them to the seven churches. It is also added, what you see, the things that are, the things which will take place after this. Thus, in these seven church messages, there is deliberately a summary, a panorama of the history of the church on this earth. Let us go now to the seventh church, that is Laodicea. We well understood that the seven seals opening the book start with Laodicea, because it is the book which will tell us about the judgment of the people of God. Even the name itself, Laodicea, means the judgment of the people. Here it is a kind of zoom on Laodicea. And during that Laodicean period, the seven seals are going to be opened. Coming to the seventh seal, a new zoom brings us to the seven trumpets, which trumpets take place for a very short time period at the opening of the seventh seal. Thus, we see that this period refers completely to the future. Therefore, the seven trumpets have not been sounded yet, but these events can take place very quickly. When we come to the sounding of the seven trumpet, we are at the edge of God's wrath, which correspond to the end of judgment of the house of God. And from that on begins the judgment of Babylon, which judgment starts with the seven bowls. Now, we come to the vision concerning the woman and the dragon. The woman and the dragon refer to the same story which starts again at the beginning of the Christian era, even at the birth of Jesus Christ. Remember, it refers to this woman who will give birth to a male child whom the dragon will try to seize and put to death. This second story brings us to the same event, the end of the judgment of the house of God, a time when each one has chosen his or her fate, has chosen his or her side, a time where on one hand the grape harvest has ripened, which represents the wrong way, while on the other hand the harvest has ripened, which represents the right way. Then come the seven bowls. The seven bowls run on a very short period of time between the end of the judgment, the time when each one has chosen his side, and the coming back of Jesus. There stands a short time period which we shall examine in detail, a time during which many events will take place. In fact, these seven bowls are the seven last plagues through which the wrath of God is fulfilled. Coming to the seventh plague, the judgment of Babylon, we realize that the judgment of Babylon brings sorrow and tears to those who have chosen Babylon, while it brings songs and gladness and rejoicing to the people of God. And these shouts of rejoicing will sound in the first part of Revelation chapter 19, while the second part deals with Jesus' return. We see that the fall of Babylon follows very closely the event of his coming. But there will be something else which will be shown during the judgment of Babylon. Let us examine the last days of that city, which seemed to represent so much hope to humanity, and which in fact was a bloodthirsty city. Babylon will fall just before Christ's return, but the elements composing the city remains, and they will be judged for a 1,000 years period after Christ's return. You can thus note on this chart that the judgment of Babylon stretches on a long time period. At the end of this period, at the end of the 1,000 years, which is described in chapter 20, the last inhabitants of Babylon are definitely removed, and we are led to the New Jerusalem. I have represented this here by a rectangle, which is not closed since it represents eternity. This is how, in a nutshell, we can summarize the chronological synthesis. We shall be referring to this from time to time and verify it according to the text. But for the time being, we shall receive it as it comes to us. At this point, there remains a last thing to tell you about the structure of this book. The structure of the Revelation can be also understood as a succession of Russian dolls type folder. That is, folders involved in one another, interwoven, and we shall see how. The folder consists of two sections. There is also a section at the beginning and a section at the close. The first folder which is presented is that of God's people. The first part, the seven churches, represents God's people on this earth in this world. The second part, the second section of the folder, reveals God's people on the new earth. But for the people of God to go from this earth to a new one, it must go across a new folder, which must be opened, let's say, a subfolder, and this subfolder is the judgment one. In fact, it must be made known who belongs to God's people and who does not. So, this subfolder is presented in two sections. The first part is the judgment of the house of God. The second one is Babylon's judgment. We must go this very way in order to determine who will be part of God's people and who will not. At this stage, some precisions are needed. How come that two judgments are needed, the judgment of the house of God and that of Babylon? Judging the house of God, does it not imply ipso facto the judgment of Babylon? Because if judgment consists of setting aside, deciding who will be saved or not, then when the house of God is judged, it has been determined who will be saved. We automatically know who will not. This reasoning is kind of a misunderstanding the judgment. We shall have to re-examine the notion of judgment. The judgment of God proposes to bring about does not correspond to what we generally think of. Let us draw a parallel with the practice of a French judgment pronounced some years ago. At that time, the examining magistrate was the one who instructed the case. The judicial office is still active so far, perhaps not for much longer, but at that time it was ongoing. His role was to investigate the case with load and discharge, that is to say, to ensure that all evidences be collected as much as possible to be convinced of the accused person's guilt in the light of the evidence submitted or innocence of the accused. When all the evidences were compiled, the case was transferred to the indictment division, and the indictment division decided who would be charged. Currently, this is the role of the examining magistrate. But comes a time when a decision must be taken about the case, who is likely to be considered guilty, and who has the chance of being considered not guilty, acquitted. Hence, here is a first act of justice that may not be considered as a judgment, but is nonetheless held by a judgment court. Well, this is the judgment of the house of God. The judgment of the house of God consists of looking at all the people involved in the case, and the case is the story of our world, this earth. It is the story of sin, and if we want to be honest, we are all involved. However, there are those who have nothing to do with judgment. Jesus said, "He that believeth in me shall not come into judgment." But it requires a justice court to decide. It is this justice court we have seen opened in the book of Daniel chapter 7 or in the book of Revelations chapter 4 and 5. It is this court that will examine the cases of those who belong to God's house to decide if they are to be put on trial or not. And those not to be excluded from this judgment will then go on trial at the second judgment, the judgment of Babylon. And this judgment, they will be convicted and condemned. So you see, both these two judgments must necessarily take place. But the first one is not to assess blame. It is simply to declare such and such benefit of Christ's blood. They have confessed their sins, have asked for forgiveness, and have no need going on trial. And in God's court, a confessed fault is not half forgiven, but totally forgiven. So that is why these two judgments are differentiated. So let's go back to our first subfolder of the judgment. The first part consists of the judgment of the house of God, judgment of non-indictment, whereas the second part, the judgment of Babylon, is in fact a real judgment. However, God is good. And before moving on to the second part of the judgment, which will be a final one, one without appeal, God will still give man some more chances. Then we'll open a third subfolder before going to the judgment of Babylon, the subfolder of the trumpets and the bowls. And these trumpets and these bowls are the last events. And it is quite obvious that we must catch the symbolism of the trumpets and the bowls in order to understand what is happening. The trumpets are the last warnings, and these warnings will even lead some to conversion. I would like to highlight it through a text that is part of the sixth trumpet, just before the seventh trumpet. In chapter 11, verse 13, we read the following. In the same hour, there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell. In the earthquake, 7,000 people were killed, and the rest were afraid and gave glory to the God of heaven. Before the seventh trumpet, before the judgment of the house of God be ended, there are still some who will give glory to God. On the other hand, the perspective, the one from the bowls, is different. No doubt, the trial must continue to show to the whole universe the full reality of what's going on. And here, with the bowls, with the worsening of the situation, we get a point of no return. The aggravation of the plagues does not lead to repentance anymore, but to revolt and blasphemy. I invite you to read in chapter 16, verse 9. And men were scourged with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has power over these plagues, and did not repent and give him glory. A little further, verse 11, they blasphemed the name of God of heaven because of their pains and their souls, and did not repent of their deeds. They didn't repent of their deeds, they blasphemed. Again, a little further, verse 19, now, the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of fierceness of his wrath. And still they are going to blaspheme, therefore no repentance. And this subfolder of the bowls ends here. But before passing on to the folder of the bowls, I would like to tell you that God shall give man one last chance, a final warning. Before the pouring of the bowls, the ones from which the wrath of God is completed, God shall still give what I have called the second story, chapters 12, 13, and 14. In these three chapters, he will be using symbols which we are all well accustomed to, as we have seen them through the book of Daniel. Beasts, heads, horns, rough sea, all these are all well known to us now. We are going to see the close relationship between the beasts of Daniel and the beasts of the book of Revelation. We find here a whole internal structure I would like to talk to you about. We are facing three acolytes, the dragons, the beast, and the false prophets as described in chapter 13. And they speak one single message, worship the beast or the image of the beast, which is the same thing. Facing them, a small people, a remnant, the 144,000 described in chapter 14, who are going to launch three messages. The seven trumpets were natural messages, that is, given through the events of nature itself. In chapter 14, we have most likely concomitant messages that shall be delivered by the 144,000. And ultimately, at the end of chapter 14, when the last messages have been given, then at that moment, there are but only two solutions, the harvest and the grape harvest. Either we will be part of the harvest and matured in what is good, or we will be part of the grape harvest, matured into what is evil. Once all this is completed, then the folders that have been opened shall close one by one. And I want to show that a little curiosity we see at the closure of each folder. When the subfolder of the bowls closes at the seventh bowl, look what is said, chapter 16, verse 17. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, "It is done." It's over. The folder is definitely completed. Now, once the folder is completed, we need to close the second subfolder. That is, the folder of the judgment of Babylon is now the one remaining open. And this folder will also be closed. And when it closes, I invite you to listen to what is said in chapter 21, verse 5. Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts." You did hear well. At the close of this folder, it is said, "It is done." "It is done" does not occur very often in the text of Revelation. It is mentioned only twice. First, at the closing of the subfolder of the bowls. Second, at the closing of the subfolder of the judgment of Babylon. It is not notified a third time at the closure of the third subfolder because the third subfolder has no end. This is the New Jerusalem, and she will live forever with her Savior. Therefore, there is no end. There is no "it is done." Eternity opens itself in front of us. Here's how we can summarize the book of Revelation. Isn't it easy that way? So if you wish, during our next meeting, we shall keep on discovering this amazing text. That is what we shall do, God's willing.